from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father and with his holy angels." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I was honored this week to preach the very first Lenten luncheon at the New Hope Presbyterian Church in Biggersville this past Thursday. And as we began this Lenten luncheon season, it was a time for us to reflect, as many of us did on our Ash Wednesday service as we began this holy season. What is it about Lent? This holy season that prepares us to anticipate and celebrate the holiest of days, Easter most of all. So I would like for us just to remember, perhaps reconsider or consider for the first time, lessons about Lent as we see the purple adorning our choir, as we remember this symbolism of the holy preparation of this season to prepare our hearts and souls more fervently for the conquering resurrection of our Lord. You know, I've shared with some of you who were gathered with us on Ash Wednesday that a discipline in my household when things are going good is that when I'm being a really good husband, I like to bring coffee to my lovely wife in bed. I'm not as good as Wayne Steverson. I don't think Wayne ever misses a day. But some days I forget. Now, to really help me in my memory, because I don't know about y'all, as I grow a little older, my memory is not as good. Do any of you feel my pain there? You find that some of the things that used to be easy to just hold on to and grasp, they dwindle away. And if I'm not careful, I'll forget to fix the coffee and to bring it to my princess in bed. So what I do to dummy-proof it, to keep me from doing that, is oftentimes I'll set the cup by the coffee maker where when I get my coffee, it's a reminder to also get hers. Well, you see, something else is happening there. As we've shared and reflected on, what is going on is that is a reminder to me that in a small way, a greater example of what we strive to do during the season of Lent. Lent is a time for many of us to embrace a fast, a spiritual discipline, and we want to grow truly through this season closer to God. Yes, we want to be more prayerful, more disciplined in our faith, but really the end result that we seek for in our Reformed tradition is to grow in our relationship with the Lord, in our intimacy. Just as a husband, truly, or a wife would bring a cup of coffee to another to meet their needs, the purpose of that, why we care for those we love, whether we're children, caring for a parent, or a parent caring for a child, or a spouse bringing a cup of coffee to the other in bed. The purpose of that is to grow and build the affection we have for one another. It's a gift of love. And so it is for us when we embrace the disciplines of this Lenten season. If we embrace a fast, if there's things that we turn from, or in the words of Miss Mary Ann as we had our Ash Wednesday service, maybe Lent for many of us is not giving up something, but taking on something. An intentional prayer time, more devotion time, to grow in our love for the Lord. But the purpose that it helps me to remember that this holy season is not so much to work our way into God's love. No, God already loves us. But it's to help us to grow in our affection for what He's already done for us. So just as we embrace those disciplines, and I am also reminded that as I put that coffee cup out in the morning, that is a reminder to me to share that affection. That's what our spiritual disciplines can be for us. They're the triggers to remind us during this holy season. As we fast or we take on a spiritual discipline, it strengthens our spiritual muscles to grow in our affection with God. It's the reminders. It's the intentional effort. You see, that's what we do as reminders. Just as I said, I put the coffee cup. Maybe you place your coffee by your keys, or your keys by your coffee in the morning so you won't forget them. You do that as an intentional effort not to forget. Right? During this season, it is our intentional acts to remember to pause and give thanks for God's sacrifice, to grow in our affection for Him. So as we hear today in our scripture, this reading where Jesus is gathered with His friends and they're growing in affection with one another, we hear where Peter is troubled when Jesus begins to talk of His suffering, of His sacrifice for His people. You see, Peter, like many of us as friends, just as we as spouses and children and parents yearn to grow in our relationship, Peter wanted to grow in his relationship with his Lord. And when Jesus began this discussion of suffering and rejection, it infuriated Peter because someone he loved was facing trial and tribulation. Peter's view of the Messiah was to come and set up His royal kingly reign right here on earth. But Jesus saw that temporary glory for Him was not as important as eternal joy for all who trusted in Him. You see, that's the challenge we see in this text today. As Jesus says those words, "Get behind me, Satan," He's saying to Peter, don't be tempted just as the evil one tempted me in the wilderness to search for temporary comfort. I have come not for temporary restoration, but for eternal joy for each of you. That's the reflection of our scripture. That's the lesson that Jesus teaches Peter. But you know, the deeper question for me and sometimes many of us of faith is, why was it that Jesus had to suffer? The title of our sermon today is, "Why Must the Son Suffer, the Son of God?" Well, as we think of our life in this broken world, one thing that's true for each of us, as we live with our own temptations, our own sinfulness, we know that sin produces suffering. And Jesus came to this world to embrace our sin, our suffering, so that we may be restored. You know, me as a part of my other career, many of you know, I often help the college at Blue Mountain to raise funds. And when you're talking to people about helping to support a ministry or an education, you look for two things. First, you look for those who have the capacity to make the difference. They have the financial means. But even more important than a person or a group having capacity to make a difference is if there's a willingness to make a difference. You see, that's true in a business world, in an athletic team, in an administrative position. But it's also true in our life of faith. You see, when we are filled with our own sinfulness, we needed a Savior. Jesus Christ came perfectly without sin. He had, in the words that I shared earlier, the capacity to change our way. He was perfect. But not only did our Lord have the capacity through His perfection to conquer our sinfulness, but He had a willingness to embrace the cross of Calvary. So the question for me is answered. Why did the Son suffer? Most importantly, He suffered because He was willing to suffer for you and me. You know, last evening, Luke and our friend Frank and I were driving home. We were in a terrible storm. Elvin Huddleston asked me this morning, he said, did y'all survive the storm? Y'all didn't get blown away or have any damage. Many of us heard tornado sirens and warnings last night. Perhaps you heard them here in this community. And as we were driving home and pouring rain, just as we were coming down the road near our home, we saw that a car had veered off the side of the road, slammed into some trees. And as we saw the headlights, it looked like the accident had just occurred, and another car drove by and kept going. The three of us stopped. I got out of the car and I walked to the young lady, and I saw her hysterical, feeling the injuries of her pain, and I was getting soaked with rain. The boys called 911. We went into action because we had the capacity to help. But not only were we able, but we embraced the willingness to help. You see, I tell that story to remind us again, during this holy season, friends, Jesus Christ, in a far greater way, intervened in our life. When our life was broken in a far way greater than an automobile accident. When the world was raining down upon us in a way even more terrifying than when we faced tornadoes. When our sin separated us from God forever. He sent His Son as Savior to embrace our brokenness, to conquer our suffering forever in the cross of Calvary. Why did the Son suffer? Because the Son was willing to suffer for you and me. May we grow in His love during Lent as we approach the holy season of Easter and celebrate life in Him forever. Amen.